Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we are, Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're tuned in around the Super Talk Radio Network this afternoon, online, wherever you may be. We're broadcasting from 4th Street Bar and Grill as we get ready to kick off the 2024 football season. And we got a good show for you. Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, will be joining us in the second segment of the show. We'll have Slade White from 4th Street on the program later. Will East will be joining us to kick off high school football as well, and we'll, of course, preview that. But first, we've got a lot of guests here in the 4th Street Bar and Grill with us, and that includes the many of the cheerleaders that are going to be leaving here shortly and making their way up the highway up to Kentucky. And ladies and guys, welcome. We're glad to have you all here.
Thank you.
Let me start with my left. I want you to introduce yourself, the three of you that have on the headphones.
I'm Ajla Guerin. Everybody calls me Aj.
And where are you from?
I'm from Winona, Mississippi.
Winona.
I'm Gianna Milanese, and I'm from Ocean Springs, Mississippi.
All right.
I'm Olivia Breland, and I'm from here in Hattiesburg.
Well, good. We're glad to have all you guys here. We've got two more, and we've got the coach here as well, Ashton Jennings, who we'll try to get on the air here in a few minutes. But, ladies, y'all are getting ready to leave. I know, like the football team, y'all have been working out and practicing. So let's start here and tell me, what's game day like for the cheerleaders?
Game day like for the cheerleaders, I say it's really exciting, and we spend summer, like weeks out throughout the summer and all summer working out and like making sure our emotions are sharp and clean and making sure we have that game day mentality so that it's really exciting for us as a team and also for our fans to watch us on the sidelines.
So when did practice start? How long have you guys been working out?
So we started back in June. We had a week in June that we practiced and then again in July. And then really we've been back these past 2 weeks every single day from 6 to 9 a.m. and then sometimes in the afternoon as well, practicing, getting ready for games. We've been practicing with the Pride and going on the field, making sure that everything is just going to be perfect and in tip-top shape for game days.
Well, you know, one thing that we've talked about on this show a good bit in the last couple of weeks is that everybody focuses on the football team practicing, but the football team's not the only group practicing. You ladies and guys and the Pride, you guys, I was out at practice the other day when it was really hot. I saw all of y'all out there too, right?
Mm-hmm. We were out there last night, and right after it rained, it was muggy and it was hot. The gnats were going crazy, but we were out there with them, making sure that we knew every dance to their songs that they were going to be playing, and pregame was perfect. So,
So the truth is, y'all are more important than the football team, aren't you?
I guess so.
I would say yes.
I think so, for sure.
How'd you get started cheerleading?
Well, I grew up cheerleading when I was about 5 years old. My mom put me in like an all-star cheerleading, and then from there I started cheering in school at Oak Grove from first grade all the way to 12th, and then now I'm here. So,
now one of y'all told me you were from Winona.
Yes.
So you managed to escape the dark side that was right down the road from you, didn't you?
I escaped it at a young age, though.
Did you?
I did gymnastics when I was really young, and I traveled to Starkville every single day from Winona after school. And I would go practice for 4 hours, and I'd come home, and then I just kind of got tired of it when I got older. My body was tired of it, and then I started cheering my 11th grade year.
What was better, getting away from gymnastics or getting away from Starkville?
Personally, neither. I kind of what was better was getting away from Winona.
Was it from Winona?
Definitely.
Right. Okay. I got a good friend who lived in Winona, so I'm very familiar with Winona, having been from the Delta. Okay, let's let a couple of these other guys get on here in just a second, and let's get your coach a headset as well. And that's the noise that you hear in the background. We're moving headsets around. All right, young lady, your name and where you're from.
I'm Cameron Boone, and I'm from Waynesboro, Mississippi.
You know, you broke my headset right there. I'm kidding. And how about you?
My name is Cameron Barber, and I'm from Macomb, Mississippi.
I can see right now you're the smartest guy in the building.
I don't know about all that.
All right, tell me about you. Tell me how you got involved with cheerleading at Southern Miss.
Oh, man. So cheering, I didn't cheer until college. I got out of college, a couple scholarships fell through here and there, and I went to junior college at Southwest, and they said, we need guys to cheer. And I said, if you pay me, I'll do it. And they paid me, I did it. Fell in love with it.
This is my kind of guy. Pay me and I'll do it, right?
And went to Delta State for a year, kind of far away from home. So decided to come back to Hattiesburg. Great team down here. So fell in love with it. Still doing it.
Coach, is it harder to find guys than it is young ladies?
It has been harder to find guys. The Southern Miss program actually went all girl for several years, maybe 6 or so years. And then we've really started trying to bring the co-ed back within the last year and a half. This year we have 9 guys, and mm-hmm. we had 5 last year, so we're really excited about that.
So I gather there are more routines and stuff you can do if you have some guys. Am I right about that? Am I wrong?
It's just different. You know, it goes from 3 people holding someone in the air to just one, so it's just versatile and it's a different experience. A lot of times guys, we're told, bring the hype and the energy, especially at basketball games, and they get loud, they're silly, they're fun, so they're really good at helping us lead the crowd.
All right, I got to ask you this question. I watch you guys, and then at some point of the game, you put on back sacks, right? And you're like, you're almost changing. I've always wanted to know, what are in the back sacks? Because everybody's got a back sack.
Our cheer book bags.
Yeah.
We have our cheer shoes. If you're like me, I have shoulder pads that we have for pyramids. We have a lot of like concussion helmets for our flyers. I always keep extra socks, extra pomps. They call me G-Mall because I literally am a grocery store. So I mm-hmm. have makeup. The guys, they'll have tape. They probably have 20 things of tape that they've used throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we just have
important.
A bunch of different stuff. Yes, very mm-hmm. much. It's part of our uniform.
And you're carrying groceries in your backpack?
No, cheer groceries,
oh,
you could say.
Okay. I thought I misunderstood you there for a second. Same with you?
I got everything. An extra pair of shoes, tape, undershirt for when I swept through the first one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those first few games, they'll definitely need the liquid IVs. It's so hot, especially on the turf, and they go through those a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Water, flavoring packets,
yeah.
Electrolytes, all that stuff.
Necessities, really.
Yes, sir.
Coach, is there any frustration from a coaching standpoint that maybe your kids don't get the credit that some of the more, I don't want to say premier athletes, but, you know, the bigger sports seem to get a lot of the attention?
We haven't had that problem since I've been here, but my cheerleaders have done a great job. It's actually, these sitting in the room of their friends with the other athletes, with the basketball team, baseball team, football team. They send videos all the time of them just being silly and playing games, and they'll go out in the courtyards at the school and just hang out together. I think they like play cards and stuff at each other's houses, and it's just really a family environment. So.
Yeah.
Not yet. I haven't had that experience yet. They really support each other. The volleyball team came and watched our showcases when we performed, and football helped us move our cheer mats, from one center to another. So really just everybody's pitching in, supporting each other, and so far it's going great.
Why are there not cheerleaders at baseball?
They have Diamond Girls.
I know, but right? I mean, these young ladies.
Oh, they're there.
Oh, there you are.
We're there supporting.
Yeah, yeah. The baseball players are pretty good-looking guys, too. Has that got any reason? Would I have anything to do with why you might be at the baseball game?
No, I just love sports. I love baseball. I love football, basketball.
But baseball is the one thing that we can go and be a student at mm-hmm. as well. So, like, we cheer at the basketball games, we cheer at football games.
That's good.
And we love being able to have that student environment as well, mm-hmm. but still represent the cheer program.
Now, based on the look of your friend's face here, I think she did go to the baseball games because of the guys.
Uh-oh.
Is that right?
We do events with the baseball team. We have an event coming up.
Pete Taylor Park.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, for special needs students. So we'll go partner with the baseball team to help with their events and things like that.
That's good. Do y'all go to the trick-or-treat at the treat? Do you guys get to go dress up and be a part of that?
They usually they do that at the Pete, and then we'll also have some at President Joe Paul's house for that event. So
okay. Do you guys collectively, I'm sure you must, but do you understand how important you are and the pride and the Dixie Darlings are to the atmosphere of the football games? I mean, it just, when you're not there, when there's a game where the band is not there and the cheerleaders, you know, are not as visible, it's just not the same. So do you guys understand how important you are?
Sometimes it's hard to have like that realization sometimes, especially we have a bunch of new people this year, and so we try to get it to them across that like we wear the Southern Miss shield and we're almost like the face of the school,
right,
along with the Pride, the Dixie Darlings, Southern Misses, everybody. So when we go out and we represent, we have a lot to carry, and that's what it's sometimes hard to comprehend, but for the most part we do a very good job at
Well, let me tell
ourselves.
You are very important. And best of luck to you this year. Thanks for coming out here today, and safe travels to Kentucky.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Super Talk Eagle Hour continues from 4th Street Bar and Grill.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road. We're at 4th Street Bar and Grill getting ready to kick off football season. Want to thank cheerleading coach Aston Jennings and the great group of kids that she brought over here. Really had fun with them and appreciate it. You'll see their picture on our Facebook page, and you'll see that great-looking kids. And leaving here, I understand, getting in a car, and heading off to Kentucky, and again, I think they probably should have been on the airplane, but that's just Bob Getty's opinion.
They're going to drive to Nashville tonight, Bob, and then finish up the trip tomorrow up to Lexington.
All right, Patrick McGee's on the phone with us. Patrick, of course, the newly appointed sports editor of the Times-Picayune. We're very proud of that. All right, Patrick, it.
Can I say that I've been dreading this phone call for the whole week?
Why is that?
Because of what Spencer Rattler did on Sunday.
Well, yeah, Patrick, Dima is very excited, and he wanted you to reassure him that this guy is going to be the starting quarterback.
No, I mean, he's not going to be the starting quarterback, but I guess really right now, I guess the positive sign is that he's made progress. You know, they're keeping him on. I don't, you know, they're still having a competition for the backup quarterback between him and Hayner. But, yeah, I mean, Rattler is good to go. You know, he's still with the team, but he's not going to be starting.
All right, preseason's over. Saints getting ready for their opener at Carolina, correct? Well, that's, if you got to have an opener, you'd certainly rather play them than Kansas City. What kind of challenge does Carolina present to the Saints, though, Patrick? Or do we know anything after three preseason games?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I expect it to be a game that the Saints will win. I mean, it's an absolute must-win considering the tough early stages of the season. I don't expect the Panthers to be that great on offense. Defensively, they should be pretty solid. But still, with Bryce Young behind center, the Panthers are probably going to be the worst offensive team in the division, unless he makes just a major step forward this season. But no, that's a very winnable game whenever they play next weekend.
when they play the Panthers, you mentioned it, but just the level of must-win for the Saints, not only for the record purposes, but also for Dennis Allen.
Yeah, I can't really remember a game over the years for the Saints or really anybody that I've covered over the years in terms of a game that they absolutely have to win right out of the chute, because you got it's the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Falcons on the road, the Chiefs on the road, and you know, you get the Buccaneers come to town on 13th, another winnable game, but those next four games are really difficult, and so yeah, it's if you lose that game, you're flirting with 1-4 and 0-5 going into that 6 week.
Patrick, I was talking to some Saints fans in Hattiesburg, and I said, man, there just doesn't seem to be as much hype around the Saints these days as there used to be. Mm-hmm. And some of the feedback was, well, there aren't any, like, marquee players. You know, Bobby Hebert, Dalton Hilliard, Ironhead Hayward. I mean, the list goes on and on of some of these great Saints players. Joe Horn, when he was playing. But I think to a degree they're right, aren't they, that there just isn't a super stud that everybody kind of, you know, there's not a Patrick Mahomes or there's not a, you know, Christian McCaffrey kind of with this Saints team. Is that part of the reason?
Well, I mean, you still have Alvin Kamara, and he's one of the top running backs in the NFL. I think it's more that everybody kind of, this team isn't that exciting from the aspect that there's not somebody that Saints fans are anxiously awaiting. You know, like they had the battle between Taysom and Jameis to be the starting quarterback. You bring in Derek Carr, what's he going to be capable of? Well, you've got Carr back, and you've got really kind of the core of the team coming back on both sides of the ball. No real, you know, new names aside from maybe Chase Young, you know. But outside of that, there's really not anybody that's kind of creating that new buzz going into the season. I mean, they can change things around if they start out like 3-0 or something, all of a sudden people are talking about it. But I think there's just a healthy dose of skepticism in addition to really just a team that just doesn't provide a lot of excitement at this moment going into the season. There is anybody that really is anybody's talking about thinking, oh gosh, I really want to see him in the Saints uniform. But I mean, Chase Young is really the one example. I think he has a chance to have a good season for the Saints. But other than that, there's just not much that's really kind of driving the conversation around the Saints right now.
Yeah, we're early in the academic year, so no report cards have even come out. In fact, we haven't even played an NFL game that counts, so to speak. But if you were giving the grades to Clint Kubiak's offense, which you've seen so far, what would you grade him?
Well, I mean, there isn't much to grade. I think you go back to that second preseason game where the Saints really had a 90-plus yard drive. Seemed like it lasted like 10 minutes. Ran the ball well. So it just in a little, you know, instance right there where you had started on the field, Carr behind center, and you're thinking, well, maybe this is an offense that can kind of sustain drives, run the ball better, and all that. So, but no, I it's really hard to hand out grades, just everything we've seen so far, just because they're going to be vanilla as can be. They're not going to give it away, obviously, just like they do any preseason. So I'm not handing out grades until they get out there and line it up for a regular season game.
Do you like the new kickoff rule?
You know what? I'm always, you know, neutral. special teams is not something that really excites me. I mean, I see what they're doing. It makes sense. I think it'll avoid injuries and such and such, and it just brings it back into the game as a relevant piece of it. But it's, you know, I watch it and I'm just like, meh. I know people like talking about it, but it's just one more experiment that the NFL just keeps coming up with each season. You never know if it's going to be around for the next year.
All right, Patrick, I know your work puts you primarily covering New Orleans, but you covered Southern Miss for a long time, and I know you're very familiar with things here. We're about to see year four of the Will Hall era. He talks a lot about, you know, that there's a lot of talent on the team. This is the most talented football team that he's had. How important a season is this, not only for Will Hall, but for the hopes of getting Southern Miss football back on a plane that everybody wants to see it return to?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody in Hattiesburg has to be waiting a result. You know, as Will Hall may say, is his most talented team that remains to be seen. I mean, if you look at the transfers they've been bringing in, it to me it feels a lot like the last two or three seasons in terms of how they put this team together. You know, I think there's potential. I know Larry Simmons, I covered him in high school at Moss Point. back in the day, and he was a really nice player. So I'd like to see him out there and see what he can do. But I'm, you know, I think I'm like a lot of, you know, people out there in the Southern Miss community is just kind of waiting to see the results be delivered. You know, they've been to a bowl game, but they just haven't been consistently good at the quarterback position and really kept guys on the field. So if you get good quarterback play this season, just like you do pretty much any year, you're in the bowl mix, but that remains to be seen.
You know, I watched a little bit of that Colorado-North Dakota State game last night, which North Dakota State should be playing Division I football, but that's a subject for another show. They talked about 43 new players on the Colorado roster from last year. And, you know, that's kind of, I guess, getting to be the norm. But as a guy that covers sports for a living, what do you think about the status of college football now and teams having 30 and 40 new players on a roster every year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Colorado kind of swings to the extreme a little bit on that, you know, because Deion Sanders got there, he basically just turned over the entire roster. He's going to keep doing that, apparently, until he puts a winning team on the field at Colorado. So, no, I mean, I don't enjoy it. You know, guys move around. I think fans become less familiar with who's on the roster. They feel, I guess the fear is eventually that a lot of these fans will kind of get turned off from the aspect of, like, well, I just don't even know who we're going to have from year to year, you know? So, no, I mean, I like more traditional approach to college football. It was entertaining to myself. College football is still a good product, but it's just not the same. And it does take away a little bit of the romantic aspect of it, I guess. I don't know. Right. I can think of a better word off the top of my head. It just kind of takes away from it a little bit, I think.
Well, Dima, here's what I think. This is what I think it takes away. I think it takes away, from a fan's perspective, is you watch your team develop, and you got a good quarterback, I'd say, or a really good running back, and you think, man, we got three more years with this guy. We can really build around. But I look at a kid like John White right now, who's really highly recruited, well thought of, and in the back of your mind, you wonder, well, how long is John White going to stick around if he's not on the field?
Yeah, him and Ethan Crawford, I would argue. I mean, I think Ethan Crawford could take the starting quarterback job sometime in the season. I'm assuming we're all predicting Rademacher to start. But I look at a guy, you know, across college football right now, there's very few quarterbacks who have been there for three-plus years. There's very few. You look at a guy like in Utah, Cam Rising, they were talking about on the broadcast last night. He's back for his seventh year or something like that, and I'm like, man, that guy, 7 years in college football? Like, what are you? He's like,
I hope
28?
He has his doctorate by now.
Yeah, I mean, good Lord. Yeah. So, I mean, but a player like John White, of course, you know, you always run in the threat of somebody like a, you know, ULM or something like that picking him up, and you just hope that's not the case. And he's going to be a good talent if Southern Miss can keep him.
Hey, Patrick, always good talking to you, brother. We'll look forward to having you on the show next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor, New Orleans Times, Picayune. All right, we're gonna bring a fan of the show. We found one, and we're gonna bring him over and speak to him. And also, we're gonna be taking a look at high school football with Will East. High school football kicks off tonight. Stay with us.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to 4th Street Bar and Grill. That's where the Super Talk Eagle Hour is broadcasting this afternoon as we get ready for the start of the 2024 football season. I want to thank our good buddy Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, for joining us, giving us that preview of the New Orleans Saints and his thoughts on Southern Miss, and, of course, all the cheerleaders who kicked the show off with us as well. All right, high school football is back in the fold, and that means we're going to bring Will East, Program Director of Super Talk Mississippi, on the Eagle Hour every Friday, because as my wife so aptly told me last year after listening to one of the shows, I don't believe I've ever heard a man that knew more about high school football than the guy you just had on the show, and that would be this guest, Will East. Will, it's great to have you back, and we did our kickoff last night. We did our first pedal coaches show on our Hattiesburg station, and was with Coach Boyles and some of his players. It really got me in the mood, man. It's exciting when high school football rolls around.
Yeah, there's just something about it, Bob, that just the air feels a little bit different today for whatever reason. Of course, this year it's kind of weird because we have college football, JUCO football, and high school football all kicking off on the same, basically, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which is a little weird. That's kind of different. Normally they kind of stagger, but it's just something about it that is so special. And this year, to kick off the 2024 season, the football gods have shined upon us because we have matchup after matchup after matchup of defending state champions, teams that were in the state championship games last year, playing each other. And then, oh, by the way, we have a little controversy going on in Oxford, not with Ole Miss, but with the local high school football team. And I can't reveal everything that I know. I got a phone call about it earlier today, so I'll share that with you here in just a little bit. But a little controversy to get the season started.
You know, real quickly, Coach Boyle said to us last night that they're playing Saturday night against Hattiesburg, and he said in the past that had always taken place before college football started, and that he expressed that he didn't really like playing on a Saturday night opposite of the kickoff of college football. So is that similar to the issue that may be occurring up in Oxford?
No, this is an eligibility issue, which sometimes raises this ugly, and I'll get right into it if you want to.
Yeah.
Lafayette is playing Oxford tonight. It's a rivalry game. It's called the Crosstown Classic. They've been playing it for, I think, 53 years now. And it's an intense rivalry. These two teams, they don't like each other. They're kind of like Petal and Oak Grove. They're not located far from one another. And the eligibility issue, and I can't reveal everything, but one team raised an eligibility issue with a key player of the other team, and they didn't do it a month before the season. They did it this week. And basically the leadership of this one team had to drive all the way down to Clinton, Mississippi, and go to the MHSAA headquarters and basically fight their case and say, hey, if you want to open up this can of worms about eligibility for this one player, I think you better consider that there's a lot of other players across the state in multiple sports that are going to be dealing with this issue. So you might want to think about this twice before you come down with this ruling. And the MHSAA basically backed up and caved and said, okay, well, we'll grandfather him in, whatever. We've got the news team digging into this one, but needless to say, to start, you know, we've got all these great matchups and everything, but a little controversy to start in a rivalry game or the first game of the season is always fun.
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
And, Will, before we get to the schedule of five or six games that we should be watching about tonight, big news in the Hattiesburg area that Presbyterian Christian High School announced yesterday that after this season they will be leaving the MAIS and going to the MHSAA. Any ripple effect as that news has gotten out yesterday? What's been the feedback?
I think it's a smart move on their part because it's basically, from what I understand, it's basically over travel. A lot of the teams that they were having to play are in the Jackson metro area. Jackson Prep, JA, MRA, all these teams. So, I mean, they're having to travel basically to Jackson every other week. So I think it makes more sense for them to be in the public school on the MHSAA side. They're not the only private school that will do this. St. Andrews, actually where my wife works, they play public school. I think they're a 2A school this year. They've always played public schools. So I like it. I like teams playing each other who don't normally play each other, so I like seeing PCS do this.
All right, so some big games tonight. I know Oak Grove's out of the gate early, and they're going to be doing some traveling this year. Some of these bigger schools are having trouble literally getting games, aren't they? Teams don't want to play some of these really good schools.
They don't want to play, and I'm going to tell you what, it drives me up the wall because if you look at the successful teams, the teams that are really good, one almost universal commonality between them is that they play tough non-regional schedules. I'll take you to West Point, where we have a big game tonight, maybe the biggest game, and that's Louisville playing at West Point. These are two teams. These are the two most successful teams in Mississippi high school football history. They have 12 state championships each. Okay, Louisville's never lost a state championship game. They have the most wins all time, and they're playing each other. If you would think, you know, oh, let's get an easy win to start the season. These teams play each other every single year. And they'll get one of these teams is going to walk away with a loss. We don't do ties. One of these teams is going to walk away with a loss. And sometimes, like West Point's done the past couple of years, they started off with two losses in a row. But then when the regional schedule hits, they're much more prepared. They do better, and then they make a long playoff run. So that's a matchup of two defending state champions right there. And that's not the only one. We have, of course, Oak Grove, you mentioned. They are playing. They're the defending 7A state champ. They're playing Grenada. Grenada was really the big surprise last year. They were in 6A. Nobody had them doing anything in 6A for that first year of the kind of realignment. But they went all the way to the state championship game. And they're really well coached. They've got Michael Fair, who used to be at Lafayette many years ago. And they've got this running back, McCaleb Taylor, ran for over 2,000 yards last season. I think he had 20-something, 25 touchdowns, something like that. Grenada's really good, but Oak Grove is just the job that Drew Causey has done there. One of the best coaches in the state. I think he has, what, two state championships now, two-time runner-up. It's hard to argue with a better coach than Drew Causey right now. And he's got players like Andrew Maddox and the crew there. I think Oak Grove is going to be tough to stop once again this season. Another team that is traditionally really good is Picayune. Now, they're replacing some players, but Picayune, as you guys know from them playing Wes Jones last year, Picayune's that team that, like much like Wes Jones, they play that old school, we might throw it one time a game, maybe twice if we're feeling froggy, but normally we're just going to run the ball and it's your job to stop us. And then on defense, we're going to hit you and hit you again and hit you again. And tonight they're playing a team that's kind of fun because they're playing a team that's the exact opposite of that. They're playing Brandon, a big 7A school. And Brandon runs kind of like Ole Miss's offense, up-tempo, very fast, a lot of motion, all this kind of stuff. So it's almost the exact opposite. And last year, Picayune won this game. So I think that's going to be a very good game. And then in y'all's neck of the woods, we have Wes Jones at Laurel. Of course, Wes Jones, defending 6A state champ, had the best season in school history last year. And I'm going to tell you what, that defense, what do they have, six or seven shutouts last year? They blew out Picayune, which Picayune, I can't find the last time Picayune got beat by more than 20 points. It's almost impossible to go back through the record books and find that. It just doesn't happen. And Wes Jones did it last year. But they're going to be facing a Laurel team. The player to watch for with Laurel, guys, is that offensive tackle. I think his name is Tyler Hill, something like that. I watched some film on him the other day, and he is a road grader. And he really does change the game for Laurel. So keep your eye on him. And here's the thing about Laurel this year. They're playing a very tough schedule early on. So you might see a few losses here and there, but I think it's going to benefit them in the long run when they hit regional play.
Well, I'm happy to say that game will be on our Laurel station, WLAU, tomorrow night. And then or tonight, actually. And then real quickly, Will, Saturday night we'll have Hattiesburg and Petal. New coach in Petal. Excitement there. We sensed there last night. You think the Panthers are on their way back?
I think so. You know, he did such a great job when he was at Meridian. You guys might not remember, but Meridian for many years was a powerhouse. They were a true powerhouse in Mississippi high school football. And then they just fell apart for whatever reason the past couple of years. And he really brought them back last year. They were a dangerous team towards the end of the year. Didn't Oak Grove go over there and they scared Oak Grove? I mean, they were a really tough team. And I think that a lot of that has to do with Coach Marcus Broyles, who's now back at Petal. So I expect big things from them. I like it when Petal's doing well. So I hope they turn it around, and I think he's the man to do it.
All right, Will, we appreciate you, man. We look forward to having you on the show every Friday, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, Will East, everybody, program director of Super Talk Mississippi. Want to get this man on the show real quickly. Ed Smith is a fan from Madison, Mississippi. You said you came here today to have lunch at 4th Street because we were here, and we just wanted to say thank you and hello to you.
Hey, it's good to be here, Bob. I like the catfish on Fridays, and I listen to your podcast all the time and just want to see how it's produced on site.
Well, thank you. We sure appreciate you being here. We're sorry Kelly was here today. Maybe the next time you come, he'll be gone.
At least he sat with me at lunch. Nobody else in the lunchroom would.
Ed Smith, everybody, from Madison. Thank you, Mr. Smith. All right, we'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back to 4th Street Bar and Grill right here in the shadow of the rock. It will be the place to be tomorrow at 6:45 when the Golden Eagles kick it off. You know it's going to be on all the TVs down here. It'll be a great place to enjoy a cold Pabst Blue Ribbon and kick back and watch your Golden Eagles. The proprietor of this great establishment, Slade White, joins us right now. And we want to get right to these picks, Slade. But first of all, thank you for having us down here. Always fun. You always feed us. The food was delicious again today. And we really appreciate all you do for our program.
Yes, sir. We appreciate y'all coming back. It's been a while, so let's not wait so long next time.
No, well, we won't. All right, Slade, we got something new on Friday. We want to get right to. And you are our inaugural first guest for this, so I'm going to turn it over to Demo Mixon.
Yes, it's time for Super Picks here on Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're going to pick five games each week. We're going to pick three Sun Belt games, the Southern Miss game, and then a national game. You get a point if you get the game correct. You get a point if you get the spread correct, and you get a point if you get the over-under correct. So we'll start with Old Dominion taking on at South Carolina. Bob, why don't you go first? South Carolina is a 19.5-point favorite. The over-under is 55. Give me your score and who wins.
Well, I'm going to take South Carolina probably 38-14.
All right. What you got, Slade?
Let's do 40-10.
South Carolina. All right. Kelly?
I'm going to take South Carolina to win, but I'm going to take Old Dominion in the points.
Okay. So what is that? Okay. Gotcha.
So it really doesn't matter as long
right.
as
get I know points, it's right.
All right. Well, I'm going to take South Carolina 45-10. So that's the Gamecocks with the points.
So yeah, so you guys have all taken the Gamecocks
yes.
with points. I'm come on, Old Dominion.
All right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And they got Jason Henderson playing defense.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to a little down south of us, to South Alabama. They will host the North Texas Mean Green. Good non-conference game for them. South Alabama is a 5.5-point favorite. The over-under 64.5. We'll go to Kelly first.
I'm going
to
take the Mean Green.
Well, you got to give a score.
Straight up.
Some points. Okay.
Well, they're the underdogs. So.
All right. What you got, Slade?
I'll take South Alabama. Let's do 28-24.
All right, there we go.
I like South Alabama 31-28.
Okay. Yeah, I went back and forth on this game, and I thought that that North Texas would be able to score on them, but I like South Alabama at home, and I think that game's at night, so I'm going to take 31-17 South Alabama. I trust South Alabama's defense there. All right, Nevada taking on Troy. Nevada almost beating that I forgot who they played last week, but they almost won the game. That kid wanted to muff that punt. They're going on the road to Troy. We'll start with you, Slade. Troy is a 7.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 56.5.
Oh, I don't think Troy's going to cover, but I think they're going to win.
Okay.
But let's do 35-30.
All right.
I think Troy will cover, and I'll go 28-17.
All right, what you got, Mr. Bob?
I think Troy's going to cover, and I'm going to go 24-7, Troy.
Yeah, I do too. I agree, a blowout, and I'm going to go Troy 24-3. And that brings us to the second-to-last game, and that's number 14 Clemson Tigers at Georgia. Mm. It's a neutral site game. Georgia is a 12-point favorite. The over-under is 48.5. Kelly, go.
I'm going to take Clemson and the points. Clemson 23-20.
I like Georgia. Let's do 38-24.
I like Georgia myself, and I'm a Slade. I think Georgia wins the game 31-10.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, Georgia. I think Clemson keeps it close, and I'm going to go Georgia 27-24. And that brings us to the game of the week, of course, always, is the Southern Miss game. They are on the road at Kentucky, 26.5-point favorites for the Wildcats. The over-under is at 50. Mr. Bob, take the first pick.
Oh, you throw me to out there first, right? You know, I think the Golden Eagles are going to cover the spread. I'm going to go 31-17.
I think I'm going to have to bow out on this one a little bit. I'm going to go 45-10.
Is that Southern Miss or Kentucky?
I was going to say, you think we'll beat Kentucky that bad?
My bad. I didn't specify.
And he's not going to specify either. I'm with Bob. I think the Eagles cover. They don't win the game, but they cover. 31-17.
Yeah, you know, I went back and forth on this game, and I did my picks, obviously, and if you can go read those if you follow me on Twitter. I had 45-14 Kentucky over the Golden Eagles, so that's Kentucky with the points and the over. I think the over is really easy to get to at 50 because if you pick the under, you're basically saying Southern Miss won't score.
So after last night, Dima, are you ready to back off that 1-3 in the first four games after watching Jacksonville State play?
Hey, you know, boy, there's a new team, a new day. You know, you never
dreadful.
Know. They were really bad. So those are our super picks. We're going to do them every week, and we'll be back next Friday, and we'll give the updates on the scores and new games.
John Summerall, the former coach at Troy, goes down there to Tulane, starts a true freshman quarterback. Now, I know they were playing Southeastern, but, boy, Tulane looked really good.
Yeah.
The fact that Southeastern looked bad, good news for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the fact that Jacksonville State looked bad, I think, is bad news for the Eagles because I think Jacksonville State slate is better than
I think they were better than what they showed as well.
Yeah. All right, Slade, before we run out of time, I know there's going to be a lot going on down here this weekend. 4th Street Bar and Grill, place to be. Tell us.
Yes, sir. Games on all day. Of course, Southern Miss at 6:45. Good food and plate lunches every day, Monday through Friday. Come see us.
All right, you're going to stick with that 45, would you say, 14 win over Kentucky?
I actually thought about 14, what Dima said, but I'm going to stick with the 10 just because. So.
That is Southern Miss.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks for having us here.
Thank y'all so much for coming.
We'll be back Monday. Dima and I will have Will Hall on the show. We'll look forward to that. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.